More Idaho Matters right now. Repair cafes have a simple goal, pairing people and their broken household belongings with tinkerers and tools to fix them, shrinking the flow of waste to landfills. The idea started in Europe, but it has spread to the U.S., and cafes are starting to pop up in the American West. Boise just had its first, and the Mountain West News Bureau's Murphy Woodhouse went to check it out.
Look at that! That's it!
After some 30 years of faithful service, an orange heavy recipe brought Cynthia Richards' beloved juicer to a halt. She got a hand squeezer to replace it.
But I have arthritis. So being able to, I mean, I didn't always when I was younger, but now, you know, I was like, no, no, this is not the time for it to break on me.
Now running again, a bell was rung to mark the success. Applause echoed through the airy room near the top of Jack's Urban Meeting Place, a gathering space in downtown Boise where a small army of able volunteer tinkerers, tailors, and electricians was on hand. Dale Podolin learned the value of repair growing up on a farm, and now those skills could mean many more years for Richard's Citrus Press.
And it was a matter of old grease, probably old juice that got down into the motor, and it just simply needed to be cleaned up and re-lubricated, and we're fine.
The sounds of resurrected vacuum cleaners and other appliances filled the room. One young girl ran ecstatic circles in sandals, restored with just two small strips of new Velcro. But not every item was destined for a second chance, like Liz Neighbor's coffee grinder.
It makes me very sad. I'm going to have a funeral service and say goodbye.
All told, participants brought in 40 items, and the 30 repaired collectively weighed 165 pounds and were worth an estimated $3,000.
There are about 2,700 repair cafes across the world and about 140 in the United States. And there are other types of more informal, woo, there goes a repair.
Catherine Milner is with Boise's Waste and Recycling Program, which helped organize the free event. She was heartened by the response, and organizers hope to make them a recurring event.
We have a community of fixers who are able to fix things from broken household appliances to clothing that needs to be mended, and so we're just trying to pair community members with those fixers so that they can have an option other than sending it to the landfill or another diversion option.
The first official repair cafe was held in Amsterdam in 2009. Most are held in Europe, and those in the U.S. are concentrated on the East Coast. But a handful have sprung up in the West, like Boise's, and one in Chandler, Arizona. For more than a year, founder Melissa Anderson has been learning how to keep a cafe going. Their inaugural event last spring brought an estimated 100 people.
Then the numbers kind of went down some.
That was discouraging. But then calls started coming in from people interested in volunteering or who wanted to know when the next was.
Don't get discouraged. Just keep going because people are still learning that this is even an option. We've been trained to toss it and buy something new.
This. To land right up here.
Back in Boise, a cheap metal lamp with a busted base was disassembled. Its pieces scattered on a table in front of volunteer handyman Mark Bowen and Joe Prin.
We got a lamp that...
Got to take five things apart to fix one thing.
Exactly.
And then we'll put the five things back together.
Owner Roberto Rene looked on.
It's not a Tiffany. I'll just say that.
Tell me about it.
It's broken. And I think I don't want it anymore. But it's too nice to throw away.
Let's get some of this Durwire slider.
Prin and Bowen struggled to work the lamp cord back up through the base to the socket. WD-40 didn't cut it. Joe asked me for a hand with plan B.
All right, what am I? I'm pulling on this guy.
You're pulling the string. Okay, just
ready?
Yep, steady, gentle tug.
Yep, I'll just keep the pressure on it.
And from there, it was smooth sailing.
All right, the wire's good. I'm plugged in. I think we hooked everything up in the socket right. We put the cardboard safety sleeve back in. Got a light bulb in there, and we have light.
And one less lamp in the landfill. For the Mountain West News Bureau, I'm Murphy Woodhouse.
And Murphy is joining us now to tell us more. Hi, Murphy.
Good morning, or afternoon now.
So, Murphy, your story made this sound like a pretty good time, actually. And I know that you spent a couple of hours at Boise's first repair cafe. So what were your big takeaways?
Well, yeah, I'm just really glad that got across in the story. But I really did just see a lot of people enjoying themselves. And, you know, obviously those who, you know, had things successfully repaired, they were excited to walk away with with beloved items restored. But you know, like the volunteer tinkerers, they were also clearly getting a lot out of it. You know, many had relevant personal and professional experience to bring to the table. Dale, the guy who got the juicer going again, you know, he's worked at local electronics manufacturers his whole career. And then you'll remember Roxy, the young girl who was so excited to have her sandals again. You know, it was a city of a Boise employee, Alex Brooks, who put that Velcro on. And she learned to sew fixing or altering thrift store finds as a teenager. And so, you know, I think a lot of people get real joy out of being in a position to help others. And this whole event was about pairing people who need a hand with those able to lend one. And then just overall, you know, I think, you know, the number of attendees and volunteers and the successful repairs that were done, I think that that all suggests that this is an idea with some potential in Boise.
So this was the first Repair Cafe in Boise, as I mentioned, and organizers are hoping to make this a regular thing. So when is the next one?
Yeah, so it is scheduled for Thursday, August 10th from 5:30 p.m. through 8. And you can find the details like what you can bring or also what you shouldn't bring on Jump's online events calendar. Catherine Milner, who was one of the organizers I spoke with, she says they hope that these can become regular events and to maybe even inspire other community groups to do similar things. But, you know, obviously sustaining something like this, that can be a really big lift. And just getting this first one together, that was a lot of work. And so that's why I was really glad to speak with Melissa Anderson for the story. She was the person who got a repair cafe going in Arizona. And that's, you know, she's kept that going despite lulls in interest after the excitement of the inaugural cafe. So, you know, we heard from her in the story saying to not get discouraged, but she also told me that it's all about getting the word out and helping people remember that this is an ongoing thing in the community. And let's actually hear from her.
Your whole community then begins to think, oh, there's that repair cafe and I can set this aside until the next repair cafe rather than buying a new one.
So yeah, it's all about breaking habits, she says. In this case, a very common one in the U.S., throwing away perfectly salvageable things with little thought.
Okay, so a big part of the Repair Cafe idea is about reducing waste, but it's not just about the environmental impact of still useful things ending up in the landfill. Is that an accurate assessment?
For sure. Yeah. So as I heard from volunteers, there's just, you know, something satisfying about the art and ethic of repair, you know, a real value in preserving those skills and sharing them with others. But I think there's also just something about the relationship we have with our belongings. While I was there, I chatted with Dan Beyer, and he's the MakeSpace coordinator at Jump, which helped organize the event. And I think he had some pretty eloquent thoughts about that.
For me, it's all about just seeing the things that you own as possibilities and not sort of dead ends. You know, I hate throwing something away because I feel like it just loses its usefulness. Sometimes to fix something, you just need to reimagine what it does. So, you know, maybe it's better as a bookend than an antique toaster. So for this is really just kind of about imagination.
You know, he's of course all about the environmental benefits of repair, but it's much more than that to him. And I think to a lot of the people who attended this event.
Yeah. Okay. So question for you, Murphy, are you going to take anything that needs fixing to the second cafe?
Yeah, I think that's pretty likely. I'm very much a use it to death sort of person, and you know, trying to squeeze as much as I can out of the things I own. As I understand it, it's just one item per person. So I have some ideas, but definitely need to think about what I want to prioritize. And you know, this whole reporting experience, it really made me think of a series of stories I did when I worked for KJZZ down in Sonora. In many parts of Mexico, there are vast flea markets known as tianguis, and much of the merchandise is used stuff from the U.S., picked up at yard sales and secondhand stores and driven back to Mexico. So, you know, basically an entire transnational industry has sprung up around the tendency of Americans to part with still valuable belongings. And, you know, similarly, I think Boise's Repair Cafe was just a good opportunity to reflect on the relationship we have with our stuff and the real good that comes from keeping it useful for as long as possible.
So the next one is August 10th, you said, in Boise.
Yep, Thursday, August 10th, 5:30 to 8 p.m. And then more details you can find on Jump's events calendar.
Okay, and I just found out, too, that the city of McCall has repair cafes. They do 4 a year, and they're at the McCall Public Library. And so the next one in McCall is in September. So you can find out more information about that as well by getting on the McCall Library's website. But just like that, Murphy, I mean, they are really popping up everywhere. So I think this is pretty exciting.
Yeah, it was a cool thing to see and really, really glad to chat about it.
Well, it's great to have you on the show. Thanks so much for coming in.
Always a pleasure.
Thanks so much for listening to Idaho Matters. Boise State Public Radio and Idaho Matters are members of the NPR Network. It's an independent coalition of public media podcasters. You can find more shows in the network wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Gemma Gaudette. We'll see you tomorrow.
From an Iraq war cover-up to towns ravaged by opioids to the roots of our modern immigration crisis, Embedded explores what's been sealed off and undisclosed. NPR's original investigative podcast reveals why these stories and the people behind them matter. Listen to the Embedded podcast, only from NPR.